Welcome to Interview, where we are dedicated to helping people use their voice and successfully unifying our community. Here we connect to our community by having meaningful conversations, your story, and your mental health matters. Today I'm going to be talking with Ellie Roberts to gain some insight into her life story and her perspectives regarding mental health. So can you please tell me your age, your major, your college, where you're from, any jobs that you have, and some of your hobbies?
I am 22 years old. I'm from a small town called Bowling Green, Ohio. I currently go to University of Charlotte. I'm studying psychology with the hopes to become a pediatric occupational therapist. I am currently a bartender and a nanny for a little 2-year-old boy. And some of my hobbies would be hanging out with my friends, thrifting, cooking, and going on walks.
What was life like growing up for you?
I am very grateful for the life I had growing up. Things went pretty smooth. I didn't have too many tragedies or hardships, I would say. I grew up, like I said, in a small town. I was pretty close with my family. I have an older sister who turns 25 this year. I was fairly close with her growing up. We were definitely two young teenage girls at one point, so we fought a lot. But that got better as we got older. I'm close with both my parents. We had a fairly good relationship growing up. I would say it was pretty busy. I was involved in sports for the majority of my life, so that kind of took up a lot of mine and my family's time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
And what sports were you involved in?
I was involved, for the majority of my life, it was mostly just volleyball and basketball, and then I tried, when I was younger, I've tried soccer, tennis, I did track.
I was gonna ask, I thought you did track.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Oh yeah, girl, I was the high jump champion in middle school.
Really?
I was, for my conference, I was the high jump champ my 8th grade year.
Wow.
The jump was not very high, but I still beat the other competitors.
Hey, that is all
a win's a win.
Yeah. Would you say that a lot of your high school experience was surrounded by sports and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I did travel volleyball, and basketball, actually, for a couple years. I did a year of travel basketball, and then I was in a pretty prestigious, what felt like boot camp volleyball program that took up a lot of my time traveling and practices. And then I did high school volleyball and basketball.
What sort of accomplishments or achievements got you to where you are now in life?
I would say my biggest achievement was my junior year of high school. My volleyball travel team actually won nationals. And I was named an All-American, so that was pretty cool. I got a banner up on my Travel League's wall. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And that kind of had a lot to do with going to Belmont Abbey. I played 3 years of volleyball there. And that is kind of what started my life down in North Carolina, honestly, was starting at Belmont Abbey, doing my 3 years there. And now I'm happy and working and no longer in a sport. And, yeah, I'm at Charlotte.
Yeah. Can you expand a little bit on your experience playing collegiate volleyball?
Yeah, it was really cool. I think I've always been one to have friends in the sporting aspect. Like, I've never really had to make friends, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of always, like, easier for me to make friends that way. So it was a really good way to, like, coming down 9 hours away from home, not really having any friends or family going into it. It was nice having just a little, like, sense of community in the beginning.
Yeah.
But unfortunately I was just kind of checked out, and like, it just kind of felt like for all my life I was living and breathing athletics.
Yeah.
So I decided to step away, but I would say overall I enjoyed the experience. I had a lot of good memories. There was a lot of good that came out of it, but I was also happy to move on to the next chapter of my life.
Yeah. It was time to
yeah.
go on to bigger and greater things.
Yeah.
What sort of goals, long term or short term, that you would like to achieve?
I would say long term is being financially stable, having a good, healthy family, and just live a happy life, being content with where I'm at, and Yeah, I want to have kids long term. I want to have a husband, travel. And then short term, I would say just grind out these 20s, make my money, make memories, travel as well for short term, because I feel like that's something I want to engage more in, like short term and long term, just creating those memories.
Yeah.
Graduate college here in the next month. Yeah, eventually get my master's, go into occupational therapy.
Yeah. I like that. It seems like you have it kind of planned out, but things can still...
Yes, definitely.
Flexible,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Definitely flexible.
And it also seems like you value just having a healthy family dynamic also.
Like, definitely.
It seems like you would like to build and structure that.
For sure.
What are some key values or morals that you have?
Growing up, my dad would engrave in my brain this one quote. He always said, don't cheat, don't steal, and don't lie. And when I was younger, I was like, okay, whatever. Like, don't cheat, don't steal, don't lie. Like, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I kind of have taken that with a grain of salt, like, getting older. Like, seeing experiences where people have stolen from me, people have cheated, people have lied. So I feel like that is kind of a big moral that I have.
Yeah.
That I want to instill in me, like, and my future kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, just being, like, loyal, a good person, being kind.
Yeah. And kindness goes a long way, too.
Yes.
You know, you can have your own issues and have your own problems. Mm-hmm. As long as you're not taking it out on other people, you're staying true to yourself, staying kind.
Yeah.
That goes a long way.
What goes around comes around.
Right.
I always want to give off, or try to give off, good energy, because I know, I believe in karma.
Yeah. What or who inspires or motivates you?
I would say my parents. I really look up to my parents. They're very stable, happy. They did a really good job with my sister and I and just instilling to be good, selfless, understanding people. So I feel like my friends and my family, which sounds cliche, but when you're surrounded by good people all your life, that's kind of what you fall back onto.
Truly, it is, like, the meaningful connections that you have within your life with other people that make the difference.
Yeah.
Just to switch it around a little bit to talking about mental health, what are some of your opinions regarding mental health?
I think it should be accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. I think that it is such a big... I feel like the stigma has gotten better in recent years on mental health, but I feel like a lot of people still either don't have access, don't have the time, don't have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just being able to provide that to people of every color, every social class, ethnic class, sex, all of that, it should be something that people shouldn't be ashamed of and have access to.
Yeah, just treating humans like humans.
Yes.
I think the standards for accessibility is still a developing
For sure.
Process. Have you experienced, or do you know anybody else who's experienced mental health challenges?
Yes. I would say I've definitely had my fair share of depression, anxiety, all of that good stuff. And then I had a friend when I was, 16 years old that committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big part. That's when I kind of, like, really understood the depth of mental health.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but then sometimes you do, and they're still not given the resources that they need.
Yeah.
So that kind of shaped it a lot. Like I said, I've had it. My parents have had it. My sister. It's right in my family. All of that. I've been around friends. Yeah.
Things like suicide or traumatic events. Mm-hmm. Those experiences really makes a person step back.
Yeah.
And it look at everything. You. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. It really broadens your perspective on...
Absolutely.
Yeah. So is there anything that you feel like is missing from the current process of getting back on track with mental health? Kind of like, is there things that people should be doing to help themselves that they're not doing?
I think just doing, like, a little bit of self-reflecting, as hard... as easy as that is to say, it's harder to actually do. But I also think that goes along with the stigma of mental health. It's hard to, like, self-reflect when, to a certain extent, everybody's expected to be okay, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think, like, what could change is, honestly, just changing the stigma on it. Like, when it becomes more normal and acceptable, that will change the perspective of a lot of people. So, like, having that self-reflection and being like, okay, this has gotten to a point where it's not normal, like, I should seek help, or something is not completely right, I'm not acting myself, I'm not doing the right things.
Yeah.
And just being able to be educated on that. I feel like mental health could be implemented into classrooms from, like, an early age on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that way children are aware of, these are the signs, these are, like, things that you should do about it, these are things that you can do about it, these are the ways you can seek help.
Yes.
Just, yes. It seems small, but, like, small implements like that, like I said, like, just implementing it into classrooms, or providing parents, like, when they're giving birth, or in prenatal classes, or preschools, like,
right,
with pediatrics, just educating people on it.
Yeah.
Like, to know what to look out for, and, like, giving them resources if and when they're, like, needed.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think that the first step to, as society as a whole, destigmatizing mental health is applying it in our education system.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of intervening at the early ages of teenagers and young, yeah, adults, because that's when mental health really starts to kick off, yeah, for a person.
Definitely.
If you could help somebody who's experiencing mental health issues right now, what advice would you give them? And that could be personal advice from your own experiences, or it could be just like a broader overall.
I would say to remind yourself you're not alone. Use any resources that you have, whether that be a professional, a parent, a caregiver, a friend, a coworker, whoever you feel that you could be vulnerable with. Just use your village and, mm-hmm, don't be ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with people that kind of let you see a different side of the side that you're struggling with, if that makes sense. To kind of, like, be able to remind yourself of what you want to be, who you want to surround yourself with, and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's, like we said before, just having those meaningful connections.
Yeah, connections have a lot, like, who you surround yourself with have a lot to do with mental health, in my opinion, as well.
Yes, totally. So why do you think advocacy for mental health is important?
I think it goes back to, like, what we were saying earlier with, like, education.
Mm-hmm.
Education is on the same realm of advocacy.
Yeah.
So when you're, like, educating people on it, that is a source of advocacy, because you're telling people about it, and you're almost offering, like, this is what it is, but this is what we can do to help you.
Yeah.
Am I answering that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like,
totally.
Letting people know that there are people and ways to make it better, and that kind of also, like I said, goes with educating them, like, you have resources, you have people, you're not alone, there's, like, statistics, like, this is the amount of people that are also struggling with this, like,
yeah,
just making people feel better about the situation that they're in.
Yeah, totally. Advocacy and just teaching people about mental health destigmatizes it, like, yes, we said before.
Yeah, destigmatizes.
And it just, the more advocacy for something, the greater the chance it has to develop into something even better.
Yeah, definitely.
Last question, what do you want people to take away most from your story or your perspectives?
I would say that the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah.
I believe in that. I believe in, like we said earlier, what goes around comes around. So if you're surrounding yourself with good and doing the best you can and being kind, and not even to others, but to yourself too.
Yeah.
Like, give yourself grace. Give yourself grace. Be understanding of the situation. Try to find the root of the problem so you can go around that,
kind of tackle it
at, yeah, its core. Tackle it at its core so you can just kind of just feel better about it, because even, like, one step forward, two steps back, Yeah. It's kind of like what people kind of think when you think of mental health. Like, oh, I had one good day. But then it's hard to think, oh, well, I just had two bad days. And that's just not, like, the way you want to look at it. Like, a good day is a good day.
Yeah.
Don't minimize that.
Right.
So be grateful for the little things. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
Mental health is so important.
It is.
And the percentages and statistics are so much more greater of people that have or are struggling with mental health than the people that aren't or haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So just reminding yourself of that and, like, telling yourself, oh, I'm not alone. This is, I don't want to say normal, but
it is.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
It
is. Like, going through mental health is normal. It's a part of human nature. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah. What goes around comes around. You hang around good people. You do the right things. And good will come back to you.
Yeah. And it's great hearing this perspective from a person surrounded by psychology.
Yeah.
Because you really do have somewhat of a greater insight than most people do about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of more of a understanding of
definitely
its challenges and good parts,
because you get to kind of see, like, the real side of it and, like, real time, real people, real stories, but then you also get to see, like, the science behind it, the biology behind it.
Yes.
Why is this happening? What caused this? What could be the cause of this?
Absolutely.
What is causing this? Like, there's so many parts that,
yeah,
it's just like
multifactorial,
the tree of life.
Yeah. Totally. Well, thank you so much for doing this interview.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course.